Okay, good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? Great, that's good. Like you said, I'm Kurt Conda. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And we'll get started, so we'll stay on time. If you'll excuse the reference, everyone knows what the show South Park is, right? There was a show a few years ago in which one of the kids was having their underwear stolen. And the course of the episode was trying to figure out what they were doing. And it turns out it was underwear gnomes who have been stealing the kids' underwear as part of a big master plan. Step one, steal the underwear. Step three, profits. One of the kids points out, what's step two? And this is kind of where we stand with exercise and physical activity. We have step one down. We know it's important to exercise. Step three, if we exercise, we'll be healthier, we'll be great. Step two, how do people start doing it? So in a way, we are all underwear gnomes trying to figure out how to get people to exercise. And one solution that's very common, obviously, is worksite wellness, because social environment is very important. And when you have a captive audience, someone when everyone's in one place together, you can take advantage of that to help encourage physical activity. And as such, in 2006, the Sedgwick County Health Department started a worksite wellness program in which their health educator would drop in and do a minimal contact intervention at partnered work sites to try and increase physical activity. And they started this, with a great idea without a whole lot of foresight, got about 4 weeks in and realized they're getting a lot of data in and nobody's evaluating it. So they called KU School of Medicine Wichita. And we partnered with them shortly after the challenges started to try and get some kind of sense of their data and to start letting them see what was happening, if it was working out for them. And so this dates back 4 or 5 years, and this is the genesis of this project. When it started out, Sedgwick County Health Department had two challenges, a Take Charge of Your Health challenge and a Steppers challenge. Take Charge of Your Health was a little more complicated, but it's a little more active intervention because it dealt with nutrition and physical activity, and it had participants track physical activity in 10-minute increments and fruit and vegetable servings as a way to kind of get them cognizant of what they were eating. And it was a 10-week challenge, and each week participants had to log the results. And the other challenge I'm going to mention here in a minute, the Steppers challenge, did the same thing. It was the key component they felt would keep people engaged was the active logging of the results. So they don't start the challenge and 10 weeks later say, how do you do? There's the constant reminders. And in the Take Charge of the Health challenge, they set their own goals. We would tell them what the standards were for physical activity or nutrition and that kind of thing, but it was supposed to be self-paced to try and just get them to increase from where they were to be a little healthier. And the Steppers challenge was along the same lines, but it was strictly walking. And each work site, they passed out pedometers to all of the participants, and they just counted their steps. So it wasn't as holistic an intervention, but it was very simple. Track one thing, you get a free pedometer. So it did have a little more buy-in when it started. So these were the two challenges that were in place. We came in a little bit after the fact, designed a pre-evaluation. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it at the very baseline because they'd already started. But we designed a pre and post evaluation for both challenges that looked at some very basic demographics like gender, BMI, stages of change, that kind of thing. And then we used an electronic survey tool called SurveyMonkey to basically make an entire survey with 12 different sections. And each week they'd be emailed one section of the survey to log the results. So it allowed the health department to send a health tip or a reminder with the survey, but it also gave them a way to keep logging instead of having to do pencil and paper. And every site, regardless, saw the same survey, the same question, so there was some continuity of data across the board. Now, if only we had stopped right there, they all would have had a lot of healthier fingers because they had to log a lot of results. It was our number one complaint was logging the results. They didn't like doing that, but it's one of those. Somebody, hey, you have to put the data in. That was part of what they wanted to do, but they didn't like logging the results all the time. And this could have been where the story stopped. But it started with four programs in 2006. The next year, there were 27 different work sites that had partnered with Sedgwick County Health Department. And by 2008, a lot of the same work sites came back and were doing the same challenge over and over. And so we began to see the same emails, same names coming through, and we got curious, why are people coming back and doing this again and again and again? And so we went back at our data and tried to see if there was something that the frequent flyers had in common. The people that were coming back and staying active and in these challenges, were there some characteristics that they all shared? So we went back, and there were the two challenges to begin with, but by 07, the stepper challenge had kind of become the predominant one. And because we came in after the fact in 06, we didn't have good baseline data. So we started with 07 data and pooled anyone that had done a challenge in 07 and 08 and included only active participants. And for our definition, we had a problem with people signing up for a challenge, logging the first week results, and they'd never come back. And so we decided that was skewing the results and making it look like everyone was failing. So once someone took a second week and actually stayed with it, we considered those active participants. And then we just pooled an aggregate to look at, you know, what was different between people that did it on the first challenge and the second and third and the fourth challenge. Was something different among these two groups? And to measure this, we looked at defining outcomes. One of them was a stepper goal. As I mentioned, each group picked their own, or each person picked their own goal, and it was a daily step goal. But then they also had to log results each week, and not everyone logged every week. So we set up two measures of achieving your goal. Total steps taken, 10 weeks, 7 days, just 70 times your daily goal. But then we also had the weekly goal, where if they missed, you know, week 7 and week 9, then we just divided it back to a daily average to compare if they were still walking on the days they logged at least. So we're trying to get at, are they just not doing their housekeeping and giving us results, or are they not walking as much? So we use those two different measures to try and measure if they'd achieve their goal. And we wanted to look at if there was a difference between demographic characteristics, the goals that the individual set to begin with, participation rates, how often they came back and logged results, and the ultimate outcomes. Did they achieve their goal? And just looking at the demographics, we had a fairly homogenous population. It was 87% female. And a large part is because a lot of the industries that took part were elementary schools. And the occupational sex segregation, you tend to have lots of females that teach lower level education. So we didn't exactly have a cross-sectional sample. It's a convenient sample, but we did have a large majority of females in our sample. But when comparing our overall rates, we did find a significant difference. Second challenge people, or third, were 91% female. First timers were 85.8%. It's significant, there wasn't a huge effect size, so it's different, but it's not majorly different. And again, we also saw a slight difference in the age. Repeat participants, 86% were over the age of 35. First timers, it was 74%. So again, it's still predominantly older adults, but it's a little higher in the repeat participants. In the goals, people that came back for a new challenge set higher goals for themselves, an average of 7,861 steps versus 7,300. So again, that's 560 steps. Not a huge amount, but it is different. And looking at the outcomes, people that came back for a second or third challenge hit their goal a little more often than first-timers. But that's that total step goal, where that's all 10 weeks. When we took it out and just did it week by week, there's no difference. About half of them made it either way. And we also looked at how many weeks they logged. And again, people that came back and did a second or a third challenge logged results 6.34 weeks out of 10 compared to 5.26 weeks out of 10. So there's almost a whole week difference. And then we also looked at 9 weeks of the challenge. And a lot of times these challenges would go over a holiday or a vacation week or spring break because they were school-based, most of them. So if someone went 9 out of 10, we figured they were in there for the long haul. And 40% of repeat participants logged 9 of 10 weeks. 29% of first-timers did 9 of 10 weeks. So again, it's not overwhelming numbers, but we do have a slightly higher level of engagement with our repeat participants. So looking back at it, there wasn't a whole lot of difference in the age group characteristics like gender. There wasn't much difference there. But we did see higher goals, and we saw repeat participants more faithful in logging in and sticking with the program. So that's what we found. What's it all mean? Is it a chicken or the egg? Did the people that came back for a second and third challenge, was there something about them that made them more likely to stick to the challenge anyway? Or was it a successful first challenge? Did they start walking, start seeing some good results, and want to keep with it? So we can see if there's a difference, but it was, looking back, it wasn't a design research study. So we don't know if it was something about the sample or if it's something about us priming the pump that was helping them see more success as they stuck with it. Part of the problem is when you study research, anything with physical activity, We can't stick you all in a lab, so you can't have the perfect study. And of course, we obviously have some issues with this. One, with subject attrition. Like I mentioned with the participation rates and active participants, we had 2,700 start the program in 07 and 08, 1,400 filled out a post-survey. So about half went by the wayside. So we don't know what happened to them. There's something different about them, unique about them. So that's an issue. We also anecdotally heard there were pedometer issues where some people would just stop logging because the pedometer didn't work. Well, they lost it. And there's always a question of the accuracy. You know, if we only have 500 steps difference, you know, maybe it's just not measuring right. So we can't really tout this as great results, but it's something to look at. We also have a very homogenous sample, and it wasn't a design study to begin with. We went back and looked at the data. So, conclusion, we found some differences. And the main things were, repeats were more active, they had more ambitious goals and stuck with it, more likely to stick with it. And the reason is why. Did we prime the pump by being there and having these programs, or is there something about that group? So further study, we think needs to maybe have an actual study, an experiment set up to begin with, and try and look at those characteristics and see if you do get diminishing returns by going back to a worksite over and over, or if you're actually encouraging people to stay active. All right, any questions or anything? Yes.
You had mentioned at first that there were two programs, one that involved nutrition as well, compared to just the physical activity.
Yeah.
Did you compare the differences as far as the number of people that were interested in each and nutrition differences in each one?
We did some of that for the report. We didn't actually do that for the study. That, in 06, that was a less popular study because it was like 1 point for 10 minutes of activity, one serving was 1 point, and people tended to get confused with all the different points for different values. So it kind of went by the wayside by 07. It had been nice to have both challenges to track against. When we looked to do the repeat, we didn't have much data left for them, so we just looked at the stepper challenge. But that would have been interesting to look at for sure. Yes?
So what other type of work sites were you guys reaching out to? And just
we didn't see any difference. We looked at, it was mostly schools, but Wichita has a couple of large aircraft employers, and we had one more, it was a social services rehabilitation, social services rehabilitation center, and we tried to group them against the schools. We didn't see any difference, but we also had a huge sample size imbalance. So again, if we'd set out and tried to sample better, we could have found more stuff, but we didn't see any worksite differences, but again, we had mostly schools, so that would have been another area to look at. All right. Thank you.